Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun, a world-leading provider of healthcare solutions.
Hello, I'm Luke O'Neill and welcome to my weekly podcast, Show Me the Science, when I take a topic in science that intrigues me and then tell you all about it. Now this week, another request. And by the way, I love requests because it really gets me thinking as well. And if any requests come in and I know something about it, hopefully I'll be able to talk about it. And this one I know quite a bit about actually. And it's from Ben with Irish Rail, who said, would I cover the science of shift work? Now this is an absolutely important and fascinating topic because many people do shift work. And you know, you might work at night, you might work at certain hours during the day, a bit unusual, you know, that wouldn't be the normal 9 to 5. And the industrialized society gave rise to a big increase in people doing shift work. And the big question is it harmful to your health? How does it affect you? Are there good bits and bad bits? As with most things in life, there are good bits and bad bits, but it's been studied a huge amount because it's a very important question for health in the workplace. And we know a fair bit about it. Lots of good science. Again, we love to see strong data, strong information to back this up and a consensus emerging because it is quite a complex thing. So there is some good science to be had about this. And the big question is it good for you or is it bad for you? Now, an amazing 20% of people overall, this would be across several countries, do shift work. You know, they'll work at night, say. They might start at midnight or whatever it might be. A lot of people, you know. So if there is any ill effects, then that could impact on an awful lot of people. And then when they've done surveys of people who do shift work, some love it, which is interesting. As many as 10% really love it, you know, and they actually choose it. Others are quite happy about it, but some find it very tough and they get very tired and they worry about it. So it's a very important topic indeed. And of course, one interesting aspect is why would you love it? Why would one person love to work nights versus days, say, whereas someone else much prefers regular hours? Well, there is a phrase for this. It's called chronotype. Chronotype. Chronos means time. And people have different chronotypes. Some people are definitely night owls, as we call them as well, actually, just for shorthand. They're called night owls. They come alive at night, basically, like vampires almost. I hope that Ben is not a vampire himself. I'm sure he's not. But, you know, they come alive at night and they feel great at night. They really feel energized. Other people are morning larks, and they do use that term, actually. They prefer the early morning. And we all know this ourselves, don't we? And it does vary with age. And I've discussed this somewhat before in a previous podcast, the notion of circadian rhythms and so on. Some are bright as buttons in the morning. Some take hours to get going, you know. Others are very tired after 8 p.m, you know, want to go to bed. Others are just beginning to wake up. And I'm actually a night owl, I've realised. I really feel myself coming alive at night. And I can stay up till 3 and 4 in the morning without any problem. And I can get by on 6 hours or so sleep. So I'm a bit lucky in that way. But we seem to divide into night owls and morning larks. So it could be the shift workers are just drawn to that type of occupation because they feel really alive at night. And one of the health questions becomes then, if you're the wrong chronotype working at the wrong time of day, that might be the thing that'll harm you, you know, as opposed to if you're the right chronotype at the right time of day, then you might be healthier. And that's something that people are very interested in. And then the other thing to say about this is, before I get into a bit more on the actual nature of shift work and how it affects us, what determines your chronotype? Like, what makes you a night owl or a morning lark? Well, we don't really know. It could be you get used to it, and then you kind of habituate, call this habituation, and then you're happier following those hours. That's one possibility. But there is some evidence of genetics that you may have certain variants in certain genes, one called PER2, for instance, which means period 2, because periodicity is what we call this as well, liking different periods of the day. So if you've got a variant in PER2, that links into you being a night owl. A different variant makes you a morning lark, and there's some evidence for that. So it could well run in families. Now, I've often wondered that, you know, your neighbour, and they're all up all night playing music and all that kind of thing. It could be because of their PER2 gene. They're all night owls, you see, and the kids have inherited this off the parents if it's genetic, you see. And then the environmental influence on top of that might make that happen. So it's very interesting because it may well be down to genetics. Now, let's dig in a bit deeper into it. I mean, clearly, as I've mentioned on a previous podcast, the circadian rhythm, you know, we have this 24-hour rhythm. It's our body clock. You know, a great example is you begin to make a thing called melatonin at about 7 or 8 in the evening, and that's your natural sleeping tablet. And then you begin to feel a bit sleepy, and then you fall asleep, and then you sleep through the night. That's a really good example. That's only made at a certain time of the day. And then on the other hand, the other really good example we have is a hormone called cortisol. And cortisol is made just before you wake up, and that's like the wake-up hormone. And what cortisol seems to do is to get your body ready.
Let's get busy.
The day ahead kind of thing. Now, you can imagine if you're making melatonin and then you go on and work on a shift, say, at night, that's a bad thing because the melatonin is making you a bit sleepy and you're trying to stay awake. You might take a strong cup of coffee. That may not be the best for you. If your melatonin is shifted a bit, literally shifted, hence the term shift work, then you might be more attuned to working at those times. And again, imagine if your cortisol is racing up and it's meant to race up just before you wake up, remember. What if you're awake and it starts to race up if you're on shift work? Again, that might be a bad thing for you. So it could be a lot about these hormones and how they're changing. And again, I guess we can override it. We're the only species that will purposefully stay awake when you're feeling sleepy. A cat or a dog or a horse, if it's feeling sleepy, it goes to sleep.
That sounds like a pig faint.
Us humans, we keep ourselves awake. And that's why we can do shift work, I guess. So we can overcome these signals, you might call them, as we go through the night, whatever it might be. So again, it's not just hardwired into these chemicals rushing and then you change. You know, we have this other way that we can overcome them. So it's a complicated thing in many ways. And as I say, you may well have someone who has a pulse of melatonin, but then feels a bit sleepy, but then comes awake a couple of hours later and then starts working. So it's a bit complicated. But certainly it is about these hormones regulating our sleep-wake cycle is what's important for this topic. Now, the other thing to say is sunlight definitely sets our clock. So sunlight goes in through your eyes, hits off a part of your brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. That's the part of the brain that is sensing the sunlight, amazingly, and that then sets the clock. And then you begin to make melatonin at certain times, cortisol at many other times. All different things are regulated by that clock in your own body. And amazingly, great science here, they found the cell type in your eye that the sunlight hits off and activates, if you will, and makes it more active. They're called ganglion cells, and they're in the retina at the back of your eye. Your retina has rods and cones, and they sense light, you know, as the light goes into your eye. But the ganglion cells are actually sensing something in the sunlight. I think it's to do with a particular type of electromagnetic radiation actually is being picked up by the ganglion cells. And they fire off, and then they set the clock in your brain. And again, that's important, because if you never see sunlight, like let's say you're on shift work and you're up all night and then you go to bed and you don't see much sunlight, then your body clock might be different anyway. And that might give rise to this habituation that you get used to it in some ways, you know. So the scientists are very interested in that aspect as well. Even a tiny bit of sunlight, though, even a few minutes in the morning, say, will set the body clock. So you can be in darkness. They've done experiments on this amazingly. You can be in darkness and then just a short time in the sun will reset the body clock. If you're in darkness all the time, and they've done this a bit, the body clock goes off kilter and can't get reset. And melatonin gets made slightly later almost every few days because it isn't resetting, you know. So we do need sunlight to set the body clock. It's a very important thing. And we know a lot about that, and it is tied into this science of circadian rhythm. But now let's look at people who are on shift work. Now, it's a straightforward thing to measure, remember, because you can measure things in people who are shift workers. And given that 20% of us are doing shift work, it's easy for scientists to take a blood sample, ask questions of people, measure things in their bodies to see if things are changing, and then study them to see if things are happening. Say, are they more prone to accidents or whatever it might be? So a huge amount of analysis. Now, the worrying thing is there is a link into certain diseases. So shift workers are inclined to have a higher rate of type 2 diabetes, for instance, and heart disease. Now, is that because they're up and their body clock isn't sort of operating in the way it should in terms of their behavior and so on? I mean, we don't quite know. The trouble with this is it could be diet, because maybe if you're at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll gorge on fatty food as a comfort thing, maybe, you know. So it's not quite clear if it's the shift work that's driving it or your behavior during shift work. I mean, obviously, to avoid things like diabetes and heart disease, a good diet is great, you know. But still, the link is there. Shift work increases your risk of type 2 diabetes. And a very important study was in women. And men and women will differ, and their immune systems are slightly different. It's a huge area of research at the moment, actually, sex differences in the immune system, for example. 48% increased risk of breast cancer in women who do shift work, and that's very serious. And again, because that's a reasonably increased amount of risk. And again, you'd wonder, is that their lifestyle again, or is it the shift work that's causing that? We don't quite know, but that fact is there. Like a reasonably strong increase in risk of breast cancer. And then the other one that was interesting was a risk of early menopause. So women who are on shift work, and again, they've studied tens of thousands of them, they're inclined to have an earlier menopause. And again, that's interesting. Very clear evidence for that. There's also evidence for it in both sexes. Shift work will increase the rate of headaches. There's increased depression in shift workers, and there's increased rate of gastrointestinal disorders. So things like irritable bowel syndrome. And these are all scientifically validated and proven. And again, that does suggest that shift work is having a rather, you know, disturbing effect on our health. And it's a very important thing to be aware of. And again, we don't know whether it's lifestyle or the shift work. That's the key thing I will keep saying. Appetite problems are another one. Now, remember, your body clock is programmed to make you feel hungry at certain times of the day. That can go off kilter at night as well if you're on shift work. The way to deal with this, by the way, is to have a regular routine every night and, you know, turn up at work and go through the night. Have your meals at set times. Don't be overeating. That can help with this, by the way. So it's not as if your shift work means you will definitely have these diseases either. So it's an important fact that you can kind of control it a bit with regular habits. But then I guess another interesting one is this. What about accidents? There's double the rate of accidents for people at night on shift work. And that's a very important thing. And that could be fatigue, obviously. And obviously, overall, people on shift work are getting less sleep in a 24-hour period as well. And that can have ill effects. So if you are on shift work, still try and get your 7-8 hours in 24. Still very important. So again, that could be a reason for some of these ill effects, is a lack of sleep. Lots of studies showing family life can be affected, marital problems, because obviously you're at work when everybody else is at home. And your kids are in bed or whatever, and you're at work and stuff. So you got to keep an eye on that one. And that's an important factor as well. Now, all those statistics are there and they're real. Now, what has been done about it? Well, the European Union was very well aware of this, and they issued a big directive. It's called the 2003-86-EC directive, which says we've got to look after people on shift work. And they've mandated now you must have 11 consecutive hours of rest in a 24-hour period, whether you're on shift work or not. Shift workers were inclined to work for longer hours, and that was a bad thing anyway. You must have 8 hours max at night when you can rest to some extent over that period. So you don't need to go to bed or anything. But certainly a rest phase during shift work is important as well. And then the other one was there must be a 3-to-1 ratio of days at work and a day off. So if possible, you should be getting 2 days off a week, that kind of thing. And again, that was impacting on this because sometimes shift work meant you work for 7 days in a row without a break. But remember, you should be getting days off every 3 or 4 days. You get a day off, and that allows you to rest and reset a bit. And all that's a very important thing to help control some of these things. And then the other thing to say is, before I give you one really interesting study that's just come out recently, is to do with the fatigue question, because much of this is to do with fatigue and shift workers getting tired and accidents and having health issues because of that fatigue. There is a very good series of studies showing that accidents do happen on shift work. So, for example, the Three Mile Island nuclear disaster.
In an atomic power plant in Pennsylvania today is probably the worst nuclear reactor accident to date. There was no apparent serious.
They reckon that was caused during a shift because there was tiredness and fatigue and so on. The Exxon Valdez, that oil spill.
Exxon Valdez had just loaded more than 1 million barrels of Alaskan crude.
That happened as well, they reckon, because of shift work and fatigue. And Chernobyl, they reckon.
Radiation. An accident at the Chernobyl power station.
That disaster was partly down to shift work and people being tired and, you know, performance being affected through shift work and so on. And often these things sort of built up over time and then the big accident happens. So this can be cumulative. So again, it's a very serious thing, and employers should be very, very well aware of this. They're looking after their workers who are doing shift work and making sure they can get rest periods and so on, and giving them health advice is really important. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, though, is kind of related, but it's just fascinating study. It's not really about shift work, but it's about us and how we respond to daylight and darkness and so on, and how it affects our bodies in various ways. 15 people in France spent 40 days in a cave. Now, this sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
Scientific study. The 15 men and women lived in a humid cave in partial darkness, without phones, watches.
Underground, in the dark, no clocks. They weren't allowed to bring their clocks or their phones in with them. Didn't know what time of the day it was. And they spent 40 days underground. They had lights on, you know, and they went to sleep at various times. They went in pitch darkness. But they had no notion what time of the day it was. And they spent 40 days in the dark, effectively, or at least without any natural daylight. It was called the Deep Time Project. and it was in the Lombreve caves in France. And they came out of this cave recently. This is a very recent study, a few weeks ago. And guess what? They were all smiling. They were delighted to get out of this 40 days in the dark. Massive applause. It was wonderful, you know. So they came out and they were a bit paler. That was the first thing they noticed. They were given special glasses as they came out of the cave because they were going to get daylight again, you know, the sun and so on. So it's very, very important. Seven of the participants were women, so there was a good sex balance there to study men and women. Now, the first thing that they concluded from this was some wanted to go back in. They quite liked being in there and wanted to stay in even longer. One person said, no smartphones. They released from the torture of all that. Wouldn't it be brilliant, you know? But they had no contact with the outside, no updates, no news. It's like a real isolation thing, you know? It was an experiment run by the Human Adaptation Unit. There's literally a bunch of scientists studying kind of extreme situations for humans to be in to see if humans can adapt to this. Now, amazingly, they adapted and their rhythms were somewhat normal. You know, they slept in it and so on, but it began to go off kilter over time. And now they're assessing those people. Did what changed in their blood over that time? Did they feel unease, you know, their moods and all that kind of thing? One was a maths teacher in the cave. He made sure he ran 10 kilometers a day in circles. This reminds us of lockdown, doesn't it? But some had what was called a visceral urge to leave. They got really uptight and wanted to escape. But now they're analyzing all that data in those people to see what effect this had on them. The director of the whole thing was a guy called Christopher Klott, which is a very interesting surname, isn't it? Hope he didn't have any clots when he was down there. But this was a really interesting study, basically. Now, why would you bother? Well, it does inform us about this sleep-wake cycle, circadian rhythm, the effect of sunlight. It'll tell us a lot about the body and how it changes over the cycle of the day, I suppose. But very importantly as well, it's in preparation, can you believe it, for space travel. Because remember, people are up in space and they're cut off from daylight for hours and hours and hours. And can they adapt? And really the study was all about, can the body adapt to these very, very sort of unusual conditions? And they do measure all the various things that you might suffer from if you're in shift work. Because in a way, if you're a shift worker, it's like you are in a cave all day because you don't see much daylight. So we should learn from that study now what effect that isolation had on those people. And again, very much a work in progress, trying to understand the effect of shift work on our health. It's really important, as I say, to follow the guidelines in the workplace if you are a shift worker, to make sure you don't, you know, anything untoward shouldn't happen. And if you do all that and try to get a good sleep anyway, you should be all right, and hopefully the ill effects of shift work shouldn't be that dramatic. So thanks very much for listening. Hope you found that one interesting. And remember, you can download my podcast every Thursday. It's a News Talk production. And of course, you can hear me with Pat Kenny every week. Thank you very much.
Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun. Saluting our frontline heroes for their outstanding commitment to the health of the nation.